Brother Simon, Lord Jesus, as he's preparing to bring the word, Lord, give him the words to say, Lord, and the thoughts, Lord, where to go. I ask you to be with Brother Dustin, Lord, as he's making the decision about his job, Lord, what to do, Lord. Guide him where to go, Lord Jesus. Ask, Lord, just to bless the tithe and offering, Lord. Use him for your glory, Lord Jesus, and be able to draw more people closer to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
grace, here we are. Feeling happy? Feeling good to worship the Lord? surely is a wonderful time in which we live. Amen. Maybe we'll sing a song or so, and then obviously got Brother Simon ministering this evening. For those who are in communion, heard that. Looking forward to the Word of God this evening from our brother there, and how the Lord will lead him. And feel like we're closer to home than we ever been before. So I don't know about you, brother, sister. I don't know what the day has entailed for you, but I tell you what, all things behind them in the house of God, and here we're to worship. Amen. So maybe we'll sing. Maybe I'll sing a song real quick, and then by the grace of God, then we'll get Brother Simon out here. I don't know if Sister Hannah knows this one. I think I've sung this here one time. It's an old Promise Keeper song. I heard this in 2000. It's never left my head. It's a real simple song. And I have found your love feeds my soul. I have found your love feeds my soul. It's better than life, so I'll glorify you. Spirit within me, cry out your name. I have found your love feeds my soul. And I have found your love feeds my soul. I have found your love feeds my soul. For it's better than life, so I'll glorify you. Spirit within me, cry out your name. I have found your love feeds my soul. For I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. And I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. Part of that, you got peace like a river, you got joy like a fountain, and love like an ocean. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing. What's that song I'm thinking of here? Give me a second. I can't. Let's sing that song Brother Brooks always sung. It's right in front of my face. Let's sing this one, Just Keep On Praying. Probably another song I ain't got the words for. Amen. Let's sing one that we do know. Let's sing I'm Enjoying Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's try that one. All right. Everybody feel good in the house of God? Amen. Well, I'm enjoying Jesus. Hallelujah.
about one more? Amen. Enjoy and worshiping the Lord tonight. We give the Lord our applause. Tell him we love him. Hallelujah. How we love you tonight, Lord. Amen. Oh, God, we love you. Amen. Let's sing that song as our brother would come. Out here, ready to go. Let's sing that song, Something in My Heart, Like a Stream Running Down. You good in the house of God? Amen, brother, sister. We can create an atmosphere in here. Amen. Our God, he will come and enjoy the worship that we give him. Amen. Amen. Only if you've got something in your heart, though. I say, I got something in my heart tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing it. Oh, now something in my heart.
Exodus 16, start at verse 30. It says, so the people were rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, obviously symbolizes purity, godliness, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So let's bow our heads, say a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just love you, Lord. And Lord, we just come before you, Lord, humble, Lord, just wanting to convey a little thought, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you, I believe you gave me, Lord. May you just bless it, God, Lord, and Lord, just help us, Lord, to all get beside ourselves, Lord, and especially me, Lord, to find the mind of Christ and to say the very things you'd have me to say, Lord, and that I'd stay right with the word, Lord Jesus. And we just love you, Lord. Bless the hearers, Lord, and just give each one strength, Lord. Bless those that press their way out, Lord, and bless those that wanted to and for some reason couldn't make it, Lord. We love you, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have your seats. Go ahead and be seated by the grace of God. I just have a real simple thought. Brother Cam said, "Brother, do you want to do service?" I was like, "Well, I have a thought, so I might as well get it done, so then we can get done with it." In an hour from now, I'll be looking back, and I'll be loosening my tie, or maybe an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 10. If I was Brother Cam, it'd be an hour and a half. The brother could preach. He doesn't like to leave that anointing. I'm still waiting to get a taste of that, but one of these maybe days, Lord willing. So if I had a little title for tonight, it would be Taste the Feeling. Yeah. Amen. So it was like Thanksgiving a week, and we had flown down to Texas there and had a wonderful time with Brother Randy and on my wife's side there, and I just had a really good time. And then on the way back, we had some really flowery flight attendants we had for two flights. And as one of them was passing out the drinks, and they'd crack jokes at one another and say things, and I was about rolling. The one asked me, "What do you want to drink?" And I said, "I'll have a Coke." And the lady popped open the, I don't know if it was the guy or lady, they popped open the Coke, poured in a little cup for me, and they gave me a napkin, and I just put the napkin right there like that, and I looked at the napkin, it said, "Taste the feeling." And man, there's just little things where you walk through life, you just start going through life and just caught in the whatever you're doing, and you just look at something, and God just holds your eyes right to it, you know. It's like a magnetic thing, like he's, like, you know, the Bible says that he programs us at night, and I wonder why I just was there looking, and I was sitting in my seat, and I look at that napkin, and I'm thinking, "Taste the feeling." That's a powerful statement. I think about how the prophet went into the woods there, and he found that pack of cigarettes, and said, and he preached the sermon, "The Thinking Man's Filter." And he went on, he said, if he was a real thinking man, he said pretty much in a nutshell, he said, this would be his filter. Absolutely. Amen. He'd run everything through the Word of God. Every thought, every doctrine, every dogma, every little thing in his mind that came in there, he'd run it through the Word of God. That's the true thinking man's filter. Absolutely. So now if we'd have to get into this little study on taste the feeling. And here it was 400 and some years captivity. Joseph had been raised up as a mighty, politician or governor in Egypt when he was sold under slavery there, and God rose him up. But he prophesied. He says, there's going to be a prophet that's going to come and deliver you about 400 years. I believe it ended up being like 420, 430 years later. And he said, don't leave me here. He says, take me out of this place and bury me, what, in the promised land. And then after 400 years, the Israel itself now finds themselves in slavery and bondage under the taskmaster. And that taskmaster, they had round up all of Israel, and they grew exceedingly strong and powerful and a mighty nation. Oh, they just rose up. Took God at his word. But what? The prophecy had already went forth, and they'd have to be under slavery for that many years. Absolutely. Sure. So at the end of the 400 years there, the Egyptians strike a law and say, you're going to have to work even harder. The prophet Moses had come in, and he started prophesying and telling them and talking to the Pharaoh, saying, let my people go. Wow. Sure, these were God's children. This was God's holy seed line. Yeah. And they belonged to God, and only God alone. They're not to be ruled by the hand of man. What the Bible says, what the Gentiles like to be lord over them.
Right.
And sure enough, they found that out.
Right.
Yes, that's true. So they find themselves under the hand of the Gentiles. And they start crying out for God. Remember, the prophet was sent there for 40 years beforehand, but they weren't ready yet. It just wasn't hard enough. They just didn't go through enough trials. Their hard times just weren't tough. They hadn't got to the bottom of the barrel. They hadn't fallen into the pit like Joseph did and started looking up. But at the end of the 40 years, what God said, I'm going to send my... He comes to the prophet. He says, the head in there is a one-man army.
Amen.
Sure. And that one-man army went in there with a child, a wife, and a stick. And he said, let my people go. It's time for their deliverance.
Amen.
Sure. Now, let's go to Exodus 12, verse 32. And God let all, I believe it was what, 10 plagues fall. The last one being death to the firstborn. And that was the straw that broke the camel. And the Bible said that they spoiled the Egyptians. Now let's read that here. Exodus 12, verse 32. He says, also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said and be gone. He says, bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all be dead, man. sounds like the Pharaoh went Abraham, took his wife. He said, God said, what? You're as good as a dead man. You start messing with God's anointed, what? In a judgment, the plagues of God start falling on you. We got to be careful how we treat one another. Sure. He says, and the people took their dough before it was leavened. He says, they're kneading troughs being bound up in the cloths upon their shoulders. Look, they haven't had a time to even cook it, but they had got it all beaten up and they were ready to. It says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Right? He says, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Absolutely. They wiped them out, and as Brother Brooks said one time, he said, they never recovered. 4,000 years of poverty. 5,000 years of poverty, however you want to say it. He says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth unto the 600,000th on foot were men besides children. Sorry, kind of anyhow. He says, and the mixed multitude went up also with them, the flocks and the herds and very much cattle. But now look what they had. He says, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt. He says, for it was not leavened, saints. And that's what was, this is this hour. What was the voice? The voice said what in Revelation 18? He says, come out of my people. Come out of Egypt. Come out of the denominations, the creeds, the Catholic Church. What? But now remember, when you come out, if you come out quickly, what you end up with? Unleavened bread. But if you wait around and just like, when I first heard this word, I stayed for about a month or 2 months in my original church just trying to plead with people and trying to get them to the service, this and that. But if I had stayed any longer, maybe the word might have become leavened. Still, because they would have been pulling on my heartstrings. They would have tried to be now, oh, now we want to have a Bible study word on Trinity and try and indoctrinate me. But I've already heard the word and I left Egypt as fast as I could. And when I came out, we had unleavened bread. It was pure bread. There was no man. What this was taught by what? Faithful teachers. We had a faithful pastor. Unleavened bread. Not mixed with sin. Not mixed with doctrine. He says, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they brought forth out of Egypt. He says, for it was not unleavened because they were thrust out of Egypt. Absolutely. Anyone that receives the Holy Ghost in denomination, I guarantee you they'll be thrust out. You listen to Sister Karen's testimony, the Holy Ghost would come on her in a denominational church and they wouldn't want her back anymore. The pastor would say something and she would stand up and say, that's not right, that's not right. Sit down. No, that's not right. They thrust her out. Amen. He says, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither could they prepare for themselves any victual. Absolutely. So here they've come fresh out of Egypt. They spoiled Egypt, took all their worldly goods, their gold, their silver, earrings, all those things. And now they have what? All they had to eat was this unleavened bread. They get to the Red Sea and they had to cross. And these are days and days of journeys. And they could only eat what they had carried out. But there came a time, what, where they started getting hungry again.
Amen.
Sure. Now here in Exodus 16, verse 2, they start complaining and murmuring to Moses. He says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, just days out from their miraculous escape. From their miraculous victories they had through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Sure. Just days past, they saw the Red Sea open. Just days past, they seen what the plagues hit Egypt. One, and they never got touched to one of them. All them plagues, they were what? Safe in Goshen. When the darkness came out, and the Bible says that the darkness could be felt, there was light in Goshen. Absolutely. Exodus 16, verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we have died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by flesh pots. He says, and we did eat bread to the full. He says, for ye have brought us forth out into this wilderness, he says, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. My, they were starving to death. And they said, Moses, I know God's with you, but I think maybe God came to destroy us too. Maybe he got mad, so mad at the Egyptians, he said, I'm just going to wipe them out, start again. Maybe this is another Moses, or Noah. Maybe this is Noah's time, we're going to starve them out, destroy them. He says, verse 4, says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, he says, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. He says, that what? That I may prove them. So he sends this bread to prove them.
Amen.
That word means prove means to be tested and tried.
Amen.
And the bread is to test and try to see what's in your hearts.
Amen.
Yeah. He says, where's it at? He says, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. What kind of people are they? This is the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all 12 patriarchs. These are their children. These are the descendants. But God's got to prove them. See what they're made out of. I know you came out of Abraham. But he did not the works that Abraham did. Oh, I wonder. Now, verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 13. Exodus 16, verse 13. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. He says, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. He says, and when the dew that was laying had gone up, behold, the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. So here the manna falls, the dew actually covers it and acts as a protection. He says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, he says, it is manna. We know that manna, that word manna means what? What? Or what is it? I remember playing basketball back in the day when coming to message with JoJo. And he'd shoot, and every time he'd make, he'd go, what? He'd be like, what? I used to love it. He was on my team. We won versus Joe Kirster one time. That's right. Actually, twice. Verse 14. He says, verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another. He says, it is not manna. He says, for they wist not what it was. He says, and Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. He specifically gave them bread. This is it. There is no other. This is it. There cannot be any other. This is the bread right here. Verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. He says it was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Right? Now. And now if we... go to Numbers 11. And it started out and it looked like a major deliverance. They received this manna directly from heaven. And they gathered it up every day except for the sixth day. They'd gather up a double portion to last through the Sabbath. And the prophet, what he typed it, he says on the seventh day or the rest day, he said if they kept anything, I was like, how'd it go? No. On the first day, any of the first 6 days, that if they took any of the manna they had it left over, it would what? It would spring up worms and it started to stink. And the prophet said, he said, that's like your experience every day. He says if we try and live off a past experience from yesterday, he says it stinks in the nostrils of God. We have to have fresh anointing every day. Fresh manna every day to what? Give us strength. We must die daily. We must feast on the Word of God. What the prophet says, read your Bibles and pray every day. You want to make the rapture? Read your Bibles and pray. That's right. Now, Numbers 11, verse 1. He says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, for the fire was quenched. And he called the name of Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. He says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? He says, now look, they're complaining again by whether their food, and they're going back to Egypt in their mind. Well, I remember when this was like that, how good I had it. Verse 5, he says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. They're going, their minds are, and hearts are going back to Egypt. Why? Because that bread was sent to test them, was sent to try them. And that they ate that bread, and finally it came out of their mouth, the heart spoke, right? Yes. He said they start going back. They had that what? That frog mentality. The frog's always looking behind them. He says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. He says, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions. I wouldn't remember. I wouldn't even touch that. He says, and the garlic. He says, but now our soul is dried away. He says, there's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. God gave them bread, and by the end of their journey, they were loathing the bread. They didn't want it anymore. It got so common to them. They wanted a different taste. I mean, even when I go to work and I have Sister Beth here, pack me ham sandwiches. I can eat those ham sandwiches for probably 2 weeks or 2 months, and then I get sick of them. Switch me up. Some Jell-O and some peanut butter and jelly. Okay, 2 months, 3 months. Switch me up. I need some salads now. Give me some salads with a lot of bacon on them right now. Switch me up after 2 months. What? We're built like that. And what? We can't beat our type. Oh, I love that quote. Man, that quote's powerful. Now, they got so sick of it, and they said, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a colander seed, and the color was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans. He says they made cakes out of it, and the taste of it was of the taste of fresh oil. So they eat the seed form, it tastes like honey, they bake it up, they grind it up, whatever, make it, they start cooking like this, and it tastes like fresh oil. See, and that's what the pastor's job is. He will now, what? He'll catch the fresh manna from heaven, whatever God's leading him to. He'll grind it and bake it and cut it and all those things and get it ready. And he'll cook it and he'll come out here and serve it. And just like Christ that fed the 5,000 or how many thousand, he'd take that little portion of bread and give it to each one of us and it would keep multiplying. That's not possible. It's possible. It happened in the natural, and it happens in the spiritual every Sunday, every Wednesday. Sure. Now, Psalms 78, verse 19. He says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He says, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Oh my, they challenged him. He says, can he provide flesh for his people? Remember, they're in the wilderness. They're in the desert. Where do you find a field where you can grow wheat? There is no place. But there was a window in heaven that had to open up. That's right. Verse 23. Though he had commanded the clouds from above, he says, and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of the heaven. He says, men eat angels' food. And he sent meat to the full. Absolutely. This is what angels eat. Oh, my. Oh, glory to God. And this spiritual food we eat today, the spiritual bread, what came from what? The seventh angel. Directly from God himself. The windows of heaven, he'd get along with God and pray, and the revelation would start coming, and he'd break it forth to the people. Yeah. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desiring sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I was there. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The spiritual manna, what falls, and as we sit in these seats and we hear the word of God, it should send a stimulation. Amen. There should be something, man, I heard this fresh. Oh my goodness, what was that all about? Taste the feeling. Remember, go back in our minds and remember the very first time you heard baptism. Your mind is almost numb. And you cannot get it out of your mind for months. It is nonstop. When you first heard serpent seed, whoa. And I just sit back in the chair just going, trying to just keep it together. 90% of me wants to cry, and the other side's like, praise be to God, I understand the word. It made me leave my family. It made me leave my old church. Because I tasted, and that feeling hit, and I had to respond. Yeah. Because why? We've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why did he send it to us? Like we said before, are we the Peter, James, and Johns of this age? Absolutely. Do I see it? No. But we are. We are. Absolutely. The only difference is we don't have Christ in the corporal body right here. But his spirit is among us. And we are slowly learning how to be led. We're slowly learning how to act. We're slowly learning to be what? Sons and daughters of God. Growing in maturity. Acting the right way. Saying the right things. Thinking the right way. And doing what's right. And doing as much as we can. Oh my goodness. Yes. Song of Solomon 2, verse 1. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. He says, I sat down under his shadow, and with great delight, his fruit was sweet to my taste.
Amen.
When I first got saved in denomination, I had a hard time going on, and I went to the altar, and I just bawled like a baby. But when I got up, I felt better. I felt like burdens were coming off me. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, let's see here. Let's turn to John 13, if we could. Our pastor had been wondering about this scripture for a long time, and I think the Lord may have given me a little understanding on it a little bit further. I taught on it before. John 13. Start at verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 6. Verse 14. Sorry, verse 14. John 13, verse 14. He says, "If I then, your Lord and Master," he says, "have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." He says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." Now we're breaking in communion, right? We just did this Sunday by the grace of God. We went through our commandment, our ordinance, our New Testament ordinance, washing the feet, or taking the wine and the bread. Verse 16. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all." He says, "I know whom I have chosen." In that scripture, what? Many are called, but few are chosen, right? We know these things, simple. He says, "But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me had lifted up his heel against me." Okay? We know that's Judas, correct?
Yeah.
Now, go to Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." What is the scripture? This is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem. Right? Here in Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there were wise men from the east to Jerusalem." There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, he says, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou least among the princes of Judah. For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Micah 5 was fulfilled in Matthew 2, 1 through 6, right? Now, John 6, verse 30. Simple. John 6, verse 30. They said to him, what signs showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat, right? And the Holy Ghost in Christ, and Christ discerned the very words. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Remember, I taught that before. He says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And in their minds, they were thinking it was Moses. They meant Moses, and Christ called him out and said, no, it was my Father. It was God Almighty. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. He says, but my Father giveth you that true bread from heaven. He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He, Christ here, ordains himself, pretty much calls himself out. He says, I am that bread. That type in the desert, he said, that was a type of me. He says, I'm the true bread. Amen. Right? Now Christ came, was born in what? Bethlehem. And the name Bethlehem means what? House of bread. The bread came from heaven, and it came to the house of bread. I wouldn't go for a loaf of bread over like a Pepsi plant. No, sir. And I wouldn't go to a Ford plant if I wanted a nice loaf of bread. But you would go to a bakery, a place specifically set aside for making bread. Amen. And the bread of heaven, the manna from heaven, the true living manna from heaven was now sent to Bethlehem, and he was born there. And they shipped him out to the dirtiest city there was. Nazareth. Can anything good? Oh, yeah, the bread from heaven's in Nazareth. I heard a testimony. I heard it's over there. I smell something good. Oh, yeah. In Defiance, we grew up in going to church in the Defiance Church there. And after church, we drive down this one road is by my aunt's house, and it was just like a little bread factory. I smell bread every time. It's like, Mama, I'm hungry. She's like, we're going to eat when we get home. And what we always did, we always ate. When we got home, we always had migas and tomato sauce, and it was really good. My dad would be waiting at the door, waiting for Mom to get home to make the migas after church. But every time after church on Sunday, I'd smell that bread, and I'd say, man, that smells delicious. And just like Jimmy John's, he says, smells are free. Sure. That's right. Now the first time the bread came from Israel, and now this is the second time the manna from heaven now has come to what? He says, I've come to the house of Israel. They were in captivity again to the Romans. They were under harsh, they had to live a certain way. They were under rule, they were under bondage, sure. But most importantly, they were under spiritual bondage. By Israel themselves, by the tribe of Israel's, their leaders. They're Pharisees, they're scribes. And there had to be a bread to come down and feed them. But what? That bread was also to test and try them. That's right. But this was the true bread that came down. Yes. John 6, verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Jesus Christ himself. He says, if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread, he says, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. This bread was really the Word. Yeah. Surely. I like this here in Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he after was a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he said to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." By the word. Right?
Yeah.
And I had my little, anyhow. I had some quotes I was going to bring up, but I forgot to give it to my brother there. In harvest time, 54:12-12, verse number 55. He says, I want to back up just a little bit to the fourth verse again. But he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He says, now for a subject, I would like to take that. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, now hold that in thought while we speak. Jesus once said in St. John 6:48, I believe that's right, as I jotted down this morning. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, this was the feast of the Passover when the Jews were eating their kosher in the commemoration of the manna that fell in the wilderness. All this came about the exact same time. He said, they were drinking from the fountain that represented the rock that was in the wilderness, and they were having a great time. He says, and Jesus cried out right in the midst of them, says, I am the bread of life. He says, your father shall eat manna in the wilderness for the space of 40 years, and they're everyone dead. He says, but I'm the bread that come down out of God, come from God out of heaven. He says, if a man eat me, he says, he'll not die. And then as for the rock, he's on the rock out of the wilderness. He says, and I'm the rock that your fathers drank from. Just real simple. Now, let's go on here. I want to hit something now. Psalms 41, verse 7. I want to start working with Judas here. The manna, the true manna from heaven came down, and he was sent to Israel. And he done signs, wonders, and miracles. And he preached the word like no other. And he could back up everything he said. He always had the right thing to say. He did the signs, wonders, and miracles no one else could touch. And to some it tasted so good, and they laid down their lives and followed him. And to others they tasted it, and it did something to them. Opposite to that. They didn't like the taste so much. Psalms 41, verse 7. He says, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. He says, an evil disease, say they, cleave fast unto him. They call him what? Beelzebub, a spirit. Lord of the flies. Prince of devils. This is what they call him. They say he's got a disease. He says, and now that he lieth, he shall raise up no more. He says, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I have trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's what we read, right? He says, he's eaten of my bread. John 13, verse 18. He says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be filled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Exact same scripture. Now, in Obadiah 1:1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, which is what? Esau, or means red. Dealing with Esau's seed line. We have heard a rumor of the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. He says, thou art greatly despised. Now look at what he's dealing with. He says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. They were what? These were the religious. Straight out of Abraham. They could claim Abraham as their father. They're religious. He says, and you dwellest in the clefts of the rock. What? Right among the other eagles. Right among the very elite of the word. He says, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? I'm a master teacher in this message. I can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And barely take a breath. He says, though thou exaltest thyself as the eagle. In what other age, in what other message has the eagle, I was like, it's been pushed, that train of thought been pushed like this day. When the eagle, flying eagle anointing has come down, what other age has it claimed, put claim and a hold to it? But this age. And though thou set thy nest among the stars of God, he says, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, thou art cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had had enough? Verse 6. How are the things of Esau searched out? Notice the bread was sent to what? Test. To try. He says, now God's what? Searching Esau out. How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of the Confederacy have brought thee even to the border of what? The Holy Ghost. They can get you to a justified state by the preaching of the word. They can get you to the sanctification. They'll preach against, a clothesline religion. Absolutely. Sisters dressed this way. Brothers dressed this way. We got to live this way. We got to be absolutely. They'll bring you right up to sanctification. They'll bring you right to the border of the promised land. The Holy Ghost. He says, the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There's none understanding in them. Look, but they're eating the bread of God. And of course, the real familiar one here in Psalms 55, verse 12. He says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it, neither it he that hateth me, that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. He says, but it was thou, he says, a man mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. A true believer, side by side. Brother Jess preached the modern day Judas one time. Powerful, mind blowing. He says, it'll be even more deceptive. It's the most deceptive age. Psalms 14, verse 1. Why did Jesus give him that bread? Psalms 14, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all become filthy, there is none that doeth good. He says, not one. He says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. They eat up my people as bread. Consuming. In the business world, a man will go to college, get a degree, and he wants to go into the business, and he'll get it right into the business field. And in that kind of field, especially in the bigger companies, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You have to backbite this guy and stab this guy in the back, or this lady, or this that, just to get up a step higher. And you see all the others as competitors, all others as consumables. It's all about you and yourself, me, I. And they're trying to climb that corporate ladder, and anyone that comes up, they want to stuff them down, consume them, so they can get to the top. So they can profit. So they can gain. Yeah. Now, let's continue on here. John 13, verse 21. John verse 13, verse 21. And when Jesus had said to him, he was troubled in spirit and testified, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who of it should of whom he spake. Now remember, who's Judas going to betray? Christ. The what? The bread, the manna from heaven. And of course, the beloved John. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And notice, directly after this, and after the sop, And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus, then do what thou, that thou doest, do quickly. And no man at the table knew for what intent he spake unto him. So here Judas is being what? Identified to what? To the bride. And Peter says, John, who is it? Ask him. I heard you're pretty tight. You know, I believe you're going to say, the one that Jesus loved. The very one that Jesus loved, right? And Jesus took portion of bread and he dipped it and he said, to whom I give this to, dip the sop, and he gave it to Judas. And John's like, whoa. That's him. And now it's revealed who the betrayer was. And as brother pastor was preaching Sunday, these thoughts are running through my mind. Okay? These thoughts were running in my mind. I'm trying to listen, but man, these thoughts kept coming. I said, Lord. And I said, I said, Lord, where? Show me where. Show me where. Where is this? And the thoughts came. He was the bread from heaven. So Christ had to pick something exactly. He was going to identify who the betrayer was, and he had to pick something that Judas would consume, and it had to signify himself. I said, Lord, show me where it was. Show me in the scripture. And he took me to Mark 1, verse 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He says, I indeed have baptized you with water. He says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. The bread from heaven, the man of his day, came to the house of to Bethlehem, was born there in the house of bread, raised in the most wicked city in Jerusalem, in Israel. But Jesus took that bread and he dipped it. He had that holy bread had to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. How could Judas betray just bread? It was not just bread there, but it was in the fullness, that bread carried the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All the Godhead body dwelt in it. The Bible says what? And he dipped that sop. That word dipped means bapto, or to baptize. And he's now not just dealing with bread, but he's dealing with the Holy Ghost. And immediately Satan entered into him right there. See how important you are Now in this day, you are the bread that was sent. And Jesus said the only unforgivable sin is what? Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And if you're a bread that has the oil in it, or the water in it, I'll say it like that, how do you say? They can blaspheme right there. Why is the great white judgment throne? Matthew 25. Everything depends on how they treat you. Will they help this bread, or will they consume it and just cast it aside? It all deals with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hope that's clear. Does that make sense? Because he had to find something that identified him by himself. Something that by himself. The only thing was he was the true bread. Remember, it was communion. His body. He said, but this just ain't a body. He said, it's been baptized. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. Bread and water. How? Galatians 5:14. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. How do we speak against each other? Behind our backs. We're all guilty. Be careful, we can devour one another. Not even being Judas or servicing, just the bride of Christ. Be careful what comes out of our mouths. Because we're dealing with the bread of God. Sure. He says, this then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. He says, and these are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that ye would. Absolutely. Praise the Holy Ghost, keep us. Yes. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Now look at St. Paul. He's going back here. He's going back and examining the Old Testament. He's breaking it forth. All these, for his day, were just gigundous revelations. And I can remember John, Paul's just probably writing this stuff. He sends the letter to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians get it and are just like, oh my goodness. It's like reading the church age book. That's what that means? Remember, the Old Testament is just like the book of Revelations. Give me the details of the book of Revelations. Church age book. Give me the details of what of the Old Testament. Right here in the New Testament. These are specific details. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat and did eat of the same spiritual drink from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Every part of the rituals that Israel had was Christ. It all represented Christ. Verse 15, I speak as wise men. Judge ye what I say. Brother Si, you said I was the bread for this day. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He says, for we, being many, are one bread. That means you had to come from heaven as well. And you came in the original form and it was white. You're just a little guy right there. But once God gets us all together and starts grinding us and getting us ready, we produce one loaf right here in Napoleon. Unleavened bread. He says, for we, being many, are one bread, he says, and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread as well. He says, behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not which eat the sacrifice, partake in the altar? And he goes on to that, whatever. Now, verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. We must eat clean, pure, constantly. He says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? when you're by yourself and you say, and there's something in you says, read the Bible, and you jump on YouTube instead, you're saying that, oh, I just, that bread, that word of life just doesn't do it to me anymore. Or you say, man, maybe I better call somebody or talk to somebody instead of reading the word of God or praying. It shows what's in our hearts. Clean them out. Break up that fallow ground. Yeah. He says, why? Because we're provoking our Lord to jealousy. Are we stronger than He? That's the craziest question I ever heard. Are we crazier than He? Uh-huh. What? You asking me? You're asking the wrong guy. Whew. Know the answer. Amen. Let's turn to, in closing here, 1 Corinthians 11. Just a real simple thought. Kind of had to work it a little bit there by the grace of God, as our Lord kind of showed it to me. I believe it's correct. I hope Brother Cam here will come up and give you his thoughts. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I have also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Thanks to God, in type, that unleavened bread is manna. In type. But it's going to try you every time. How many have partaken of it before and something happened to him right afterwards? And you know he had to make it right. Something struck your heart, convicted you. Absolutely. He says, wheresoever, verse 27, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. What was Judas? He had already come up with the plan of betrayal. He had already met with the council. They already agreed for an amount sum. He was already guilty. And he didn't think that taking this Lord's communion would do anything to him, would have any effect. It showed what was in their heart. He come out of those churches. He came out of the Pharisees. Whatever he was, he came out. And he followed that word of God, Jesus Christ, to the T. And then one instance happened. And he turned back to Egypt and said, man, that's kind of, I think I can make a deal here where I can get up and make some money here. I think I see an opening. It's that same mindset every time. Consume, consume, consume. Watch any animal. They want to eat first. It's them first. They'll trick. My dogs will pull something on each other. My dogs are so good at tricking. And we have this little foot stand right here, and they that's next to their throne. Their little dog throne. And if Benji Pup's on that dog throne, just being Benji Pup, the king. And Nina, once on that throne, she'll run past the door and start barking. And then go up to where that door is and scratch and bark. And raw, 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 there's something outside, there's something outside. Benji Pup, the king, is like, what? His ears, little dog ears. Whoosh. And he starts coming, this and that. And by that time, they went out. Open the door. Benji Pup runs out. Nina turns back, runs downstairs, and jumps on the throne. Animal mentality. And they'll do it to each other. Same trick. And they get fooled by each other every time. Sad, I know. Sure. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The word, the people in the church, the motivations, inclinations, any thoughts that are wrong, this word will triumph.
Absolutely.
Verse 30. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we judge ourselves, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Check up every hour. So anyhow, saints, in closing there, hope it was simple enough. I'm sure it was simple enough. Just a real simple thought there. What did that mean? I've wondered for it for years. I really think that's it. Brother Cam, if you have any other thoughts or corrections, bring them, brother. I just felt like maybe this was something here. I said, Lord, show it to me. And he showed me right there. The bread from heaven now had to be baptized. And now it was the living bread. Amen. Anyhow, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just love you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. And Lord, we pray it was simple, Lord God, and Lord, hopefully it was just edifying, Lord, to the people, Lord. Just a little simple thought I believe you gave me, Lord. And Lord, just bless each one as they press their way out, Lord. Lord, bless the fellowship and the vestibule out there, Lord, and the communion, Lord God, and with one another, Lord. And Lord, but most importantly, Lord Jesus, Lord, may we strive to grow closer to you, God, Lord. Lord, reveal us everything we need to know, Lord Jesus, God. Give us strength, Lord. May we not be consumed, God, by the world, Lord Jesus, Lord, by others, Lord. But, Lord, the Bible says you are a consuming fire, God, Lord. May you consume us to the fullness, God, Lord. Every fiber in our body, God, every molecule, every cell, Lord Jesus, Lord, may just be radiating and pulsating Jesus Christ, God. Every word just be a word of encouragement or edification or sing psalms and praise and all those things, God, that your word tells us to do, Lord, to think on good things, Lord, not evil. We love you, Lord. Just bless the hearers, Lord. Just keep us, Lord. We love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If anyone need a prayer or not feeling so good, just we'll come up for prayer for you, Lord willing. Brother Cam, if you want to come on up, any thoughts or however. Love the Lord. Just want to keep pressing. Seems like everything's getting better with Trump in. Better, better, better. Things are going to go up. Be very, very watchful. He said they'll wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The love of many will wax cold. We're further down the road now. We're even a day closer to the rapture now. So things will get darker and darker and colder. And colder. Love one another, and we'll make it by the grace of God.